We'll go ahead and start as soon as the tape runs, and Greg will be David right. King for the hour.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for inviting me here tonight.
Yes, indeed.
In your packet, there are some materials. We hired David King and Associates to do some work at the Pizza Annex, and this is the result of one of his new software programs called Revit. It's actually a pretty interesting software. A lot of the architectural firms are using it because you can literally lay 3D on top of 3D so you can find out your HVAC ducts are all in order and will be going through walls or going through other things. So anyway, he used this just to kind of, I think, test out the software so you can kind of see what the building looks like. What Mr. King found was that, and this is not new news for those who have been in the city for a while, this is an older building. It was built many, many years ago as a grain and feed store. And my understanding was that it was open to the back. There were loading docks in the back side of it. And so the trucks would back up to the loading dock. And so over the years, the building has gone through a few renovations. The most recent one was for a pizza parlor. Some of you may have had pizza there. That's why we call it the Pizza Annex, for just lack of a better term. But over the years, these renovations that were done were not really done by someone who really understood the structural integrity or the way the building was built. You can see in one of these drawings what the bottom floor, what the basement looks like with the posts and beams. Well, unfortunately, the main floor's load does not line up with the posts and beams on the basement. So it was. I think there were numerous renovations to the building, and while the renovations worked for the tenants upstairs, they really didn't give a lot of thought to the structural integrity of the entire building as far as where they located walls and the load is not carried properly. That's the structural analysis of it. We have also had some issues over the years with mold in the buildings because there is a basement. That has been remedied to a large extent insofar as it's not getting any worse. When we built the library, we found out that the pipe that leaves the building, in the basement there are two sump pumps, and then there's a pipe that goes out. Well, the pipe was not quite put at the right grade, and so the water was actually draining into the building, being pumped out, drained back into the building, pumped out, and so you can imagine when there was significant rainfall, the sump pumps were overwhelmed, and so there was a almost perpetual dampness in the basement. That's pretty much been remedied when we redid the parking lot for the library. So we put that pipe, a brand new pipe in, and it's been working well since then. But there are some other issues related to the use or the misuse of the building over time and the renovations. So there is a fair amount of dry rot around some of the windows. It's nothing that couldn't be fixed if we wanted to indeed save the building. And that really was the $10,000 or the whatever dollar amount you want to put to a question that we had for David King. Would it be worthwhile to attempt to save the building? And the short answer is no. He does not believe that the building in its current configuration is worth saving. There's so much work that needs to be done. He said that if we wanted to use it temporarily for something, storage perhaps, even though we tried that in the years past, it could be done. But as far as the long-term viability of the building, it's in the floodplain. And if you stand in the parking lot of City Hall, the new library is perched up on a gravel bed that lifted the new library out of the floodplain. And so that building, the Pizza Annex, would have to be at the same elevation as the library to get it out of the floodplain. And when you look at the building, what we're really talking about is something that would be probably as high or higher than this room here to perch the building up. So it would take a significant amount of work to structurally get the building back in shape. It would take quite a bit of work to make it ADA accessible. If you've ever seen the ramps that are built there, they're not to any code probably that were it was ever. It almost seems like a little joyride. I can imagine someone on a piece of cardboard sliding down the ADA ramp. It's at quite an angle. So the building is not really worth saving. His suggestion is that, again, if we have something that we might want to use the building for temporarily that would not be, you know, publicly occupied, then we could probably do something with it. His overall recommendation would be that it probably makes sense to simply bulldoze the building and fill it in like we did the house over in Washington and Vista. The house was over there. The cost is probably going to be about $30,000 to $40,000, maybe a little bit more than that, $30,000 to $40,000 to take the building down. We spent a little bit more over in the house at Washington and Vista, mostly because that house over there had asbestos siding. And with no further ado, thank you very much for taking me the time tonight. I kind of stole some of your thunder.
Oh, good.
We figured it was, sorry about the traffic related.
You know, normally it's a 20-minute drive from the office to here. It was 40, so I don't really apologize.
We're glad you're here, though,
David. Well, anyway, I'm glad to be here, too. And again, I really apologize for holding everybody up.
Now they get to hear what I said is what you were going to say.
Yeah, so let's go through that again, and I apologize if what Greg says is the same as what I'm going to say. But give you a little background. So it's been probably 3 months or so since I was contacted to look at the Pizza Annex. I usually choose to call it the Front Street Annex, but Pizza Annex works. I think one of the reasons that I got called was going back to the Pioneer Pavilion. Not sure if Greg talked to you about that at all, but I got a similar call, or at least we had a discussion in the early stages of what to do with the Pioneer Pavilion after it was a Boys and Girls Club. It caught fire. And the question was, what do we do with it now? I walked into that facility. The roof was leaking. It smelled bad. There was evidence of smoke damage. But when I walked through, what I saw was a good set of bones. And I made a recommendation to the city that there was real value there and that it could, in fact, be repurposed and used well. So with that, we did a feasibility study. We looked at what it would take to repurpose it for the temporary library with some long-term plans for a community center. We had a low budget. We estimated that job, and actually our estimate, which was low, turned out to be fairly accurate as far as what the bids that eventually came in to be. So, in many ways, that was a very successful project because I think we were able to have the city of Ferndale realize the value that they had there and were able to continue using it. It helped with the transition of the library, and now it's being used for other community events. So I felt like with that credential, I was asked to take a look at the Pizza Pavilion. And maybe there was a hope that I would see some good bones there. We'll talk a little bit about what I saw there. I had received a report by Wilson Engineering, done by Charles Waugh, that looked at some of the deterioration in the wood framing that was due to roof leaks or some water intrusion. So there was some recognized rot, which isn't insurmountable all by itself. Part of the services that we had signed on for included doing some field measuring, getting some basic as-is documents put together. If we had continued to go on down the line, we had discussions with different groups in the city about what some of the needs might be for that facility, including a council chambers, hearing examiner, use of that chamber, some office spaces, and things like that. So when we were doing the field measuring, we measured basically everything horizontally and vertically, and we located walls upstairs. We saw where the roof framing was supported with some beams. We saw where there were posts concealed in some cases in the walls. And we went downstairs to measure the basement framing, the posts, get a notion of what the concrete foundation walls looked like. And when we got back to the office and compared the two, it became apparent that the vertical supports that support the roof structure don't actually bear on anything structural in the basement. So, for example, if the building is has a footprint of 2,400 square feet, there may be portions of the roof as large as, I just guess off the top of my head, 400 square feet of contributory area that gets transferred into one wood post on the main level, but when you go down to the lower level, there's actually nothing there to support it.
So the point loads don't line up?
The point loads don't line up. In the best case, there might be a single 2x8 floor joist supporting one of the posts that supported the roof. So apparently that was sufficient to carry the loads in the history of the building, but it means a couple of things. One is to make improvements as they should be to support the roof isn't insurmountable. It's not actually that big a deal to cut some of the slab out of the basement, test the soil for a compaction, put in a new footing, and put in a post that corresponds with the posts above. That's not really too intimidating. But what is a little bit of a concern is the fact that at some point in the care of the building, there were folks working on it that, one, maybe didn't have a good knowledge of structures. It apparently didn't go through a permitting process. And I guess it puts a question into some of the other elements of the building structure that would suggest more verification should be made if the building's intended to be reused. I guess in my past, we've looked at some old buildings before. We've done x-rays on foundation walls and footings, and where we have thought there should be rebar, sometimes there hasn't been. So those are the kinds of things that are, I would say, now suspect. So that's one element of what you should consider when thinking about repurposing that building. The other main element of whether it's appropriate to repurpose a building or not is how close does that building shape, size, accommodate the building program that you intend to put in there. So we'd only had one fairly general meeting about what some of the areas that conceivably would go over there should be, how large they were, how many offices, how many seats at council chambers would accommodate, and it appeared that that program would probably require twice the area that the building footprint would provide. So I think Greg probably sent out some documents earlier. So maybe you have had access at least to some floor plans. That was several months before the election, and I think it was decided that it would probably be good to let the dust settle around the election, and then we could consider what should be done with that building with some of the new folks involved. So we just sort of dropped it at the time. What would have been the next step would have been to get back together with the folks that we met who described to me what some of the uses were, and at least get a little bit of feedback on the plan that we provided. But let's talk a little bit more long term. And I guess what I often see when choices like this are being made it's sometimes clear to me that there are short-term decisions and there's long-term decisions. And the reality is there's hardly ever enough money to do what folks want to be able to do. And sometimes the easy decision is the short-term choice that gets you through for some period of time. I think as a government institution, I'm sure your mission is to accommodate the long-term interests of the city. And so the question is, what are the long-term needs of the city? And I guess when I started looking at this and thinking about it with my architect and planner hat on, and some other familiarity with city services and growth of Ferndale and some of those sorts of things. Proximity of this site to the city core facilities, city hall and the new library. The strategic location of the site. Certainly I began to wonder about what needs does the city of Ferndale, what are they going to need 5 years out, 10 years out, 20 years out? And how does a property like this play into that? That was my own thought. That wasn't anything I was asked to start thinking about, but it's the way my mind works. So in the past, we've done a variety of feasibility studies for a variety of institutions. We've done some long-range planning for facilities for Whatcom County, for example, out at Smith and Northwest. We've looked at a 20 to 30-year plan for their public works, for their planning and development services. And the reason I bring that up is because there was a process that we went through. In that case, there were quite a few sub-consultants involved, and it was a big notebook and probably a more elaborate process than is needed here. But the point is we went through a deliberate process of talking to each department and each group within each department, learned a little bit about what their activities were, but then really had a discussion about what does 10 to 20 years mean as far as growth, and then basically projected that growth, looked at a long-range plan that theoretically could be built out to over 20 years, looked at phasing that could be started immediately so that when short-term choices are made, they at least fit within a long-term scenario. So in the case of the Smith and Northwest property, that was right before the Great Recession, and all of a sudden they didn't need to grow anymore, and some of the immediate needs were gone, and they didn't need to move on that right away. But I guess what I'm getting at is it seems like Ferndale might be at a point where it would be appropriate to take a big picture look, see what applications that property has in that big picture, and just have something in the back pocket for the next 10 to 20 years, some notion of what the needs are and how perhaps they would be accommodated. And usually all those studies culminate in a cost estimate, because ultimately that's where the decisions need to be made, is how funds are allocated. I guess the other noteworthy piece is the floodplain in that area and how that gets addressed. That's sort of a complicated question, but that would certainly be one that would need to be dissected a little bit in a study that looked at a more long-term plan. So I guess the simple answer is that building does have some usefulness. It's probably worth investment if there is a program for about 2,400 square feet of space, and there's a long-term use with that program, then I'd say it is worth improving. My immediate impression is the building doesn't have good bones. Mechanical system, probably a good portion of the plumbing system, the power system generally probably need to be replaced. So it would be a sizable investment just to bring that 2,400 square foot building up to a usable level. But then if you superimpose an overall long-range plan for the city, you may find that programmatically, well, you may find it either does or it doesn't fit into your program. So anyway, that's at least an introduction to some of the thoughts that I had. I was asked to provide a rough cost estimate on one of the options, which I haven't mentioned, and that is the possibility of demolishing the structure and putting it into a holding pattern where the property conceivably could be used for some purpose, you know, down the road, if in fact there's not a current use that warrants investment. Conceivably, it could just be demolished. And we asked a contractor to give us some numbers, but they didn't get numbers to me when I departed. But I did get some numbers crunched. So it appears that a straight demolition, and in this case, sometimes you would fold foundation walls down and then bury them, but the demolition scope that we looked at includes full removal, because sometimes if you've got that kind of debris in the site, it limits what you can do with the site as far as construction in the future. So even though you could probably do a demolition job that looks nice and clean, in this scope we assessed that perhaps you would remove everything. And when we crunched numbers in the office, we came up with $42,000. This is a rough guess. But then it appears the contractor who I did talk to got back to us, and it appears he would say $49,000 to $50,000. So those are fairly sizable numbers. We tried to be conservative, which means hopefully they wouldn't be that high, but as far as budget purposes, conceivably, you would want to pencil in those amounts. We assumed there was no abatement, and there may be some, but that's sort of outside of our ability to estimate, so that would be a separate conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Kane. Questions from Councilmember Birch?
Well, my gut feeling says level it. And if we were to save the building, I'd rather see the money extend into the city hall and bring that out towards the pizza annex and maybe utilize that property, part of the city hall, maybe a park, grassy area or something. Just spend them. Is the city hall in a flood area, so you would have to lift it to be able to model it?
There are, of course, there's rules on everything, but with the floodplain issues, if you desire to spend a sufficient amount, I think it's more than 50% of the value of the building, then you have to bring the entire building up to current code. We ran into this a little bit, at least the concept for the Pioneer Pavilion, when we talked about actually building the permanent library there. And so the improvements we had contemplated for a permanent library down at the pavilion was much more extensive than what we have actually did for the temporary library. So we did not have to bring the whole building up to code. One of the things you can, there's various ways to do that. You can actually build a wall, build a moat, if you will, build a wall around the building that when the floods come, you simply fill in the openings where the walkways are, and it provides a protection for the building. Or you can raise the building up or raise the site up, which is what we did for the new library. So there's various things that you can do, but you have to hit that 50% of the valuation threshold. So there very well could be, and this probably goes back to what Mr. King was talking about, if we were to go down the path of talking to staff and you all and get an idea of what our space needs are going to be for the next 10, 15, 20 years, then we can take a look to see if those needs could be accommodated at the existing city hall, if only by expanding the upstairs, because the second floor is above the floodplain. not unlike the original bank building, that where our conference room is used to be a drive-through, so it was just the second floor. We could actually probably go out and have no structures on the ground floor, but extend the structures on the second floor. Or there might be the idea of other things to do, but I guess until we know or get our best guess of what our future staffing needs are going to be, there's no way to say whether that would be a good thing to do or if it could even be done in phases, like a five-year building, and then in 10 years we do a little bit more building, and something that we could literally, you know, strap on more to the building to accommodate our growing needs. I think by all of our estimations, Ferndale is a growing city and will continue to grow.
Now, are there underground springs running in under the parking lot?
There's a stream that runs through the parking lot. When we did the library, actually preceding that, out in the parking lot, there's a very large pipe that goes under the parking lot. It kind of cuts diagonally across the parking lot from 7-Eleven over to, and if you remember, the parking lot where the library now is, at one over on the far side near the wetlands, there's a little railing against the edge of the parking lot. If you look over that railing, that's where that pipe daylights. So that is Shell Creek, okay. What used to be Shell Creek. It has been covered for decades. But we did replace a large section of that pipe when we redid the...
But there's no underground spring under the pizza annex.
Not that we were able to find. There's a high water table because of the fact that you have a wetland right there. So obviously the soils are conducive to having water impound. But we did not see any evidence of a true artesian spring or any sort of spring under the building itself.
Greg mentioned earlier that when they put the parking lot in, you actually connected something.
So
it's much drier.
It's much drier. Oh, it's substantially drier than what it was before. Because as I mentioned, the pipe was actually, the angle was wrong, so the sump pumps would pump into the pipe and then cut off, and then the water would just work its way back down the pipe into the building.
I'm curious how old the current City Hall is, and I do like the idea of looking at a plan to try and determine what we need now, what we need 10 years from now. Eventually I'd like to see us perhaps just build what we think we're going to need, mm-hmm. rather than we keep spending all this money on really old buildings. And I just don't know. I mean, how old is City Hall?
I'm assuming it was built like in the 70s.
Is it that young?
Because it was a bank.
It was a bank.
Okay, so it's still relatively young.
If you get on the assessor's website.
and I believe by at least anecdotally, we've not really had any issues structurally with our building.
Roof leaks. The roof was leaking, but they fixed it.
Yeah, fixed that. Yeah. It's because it was designed as a bank, it was modified, it's been modified a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so the layout would be different if we were just going to go in today and want to lay out a City Hall. As you know, it's kind of a little labyrinthine in there almost, the way everything works.
It's not very user-friendly for citizens that come in.
But that I think that's probably easier to remedy than anything else if we're talking about a big project.
Okay.
About how far below the floodplain are you? Or how much would you have to build up to be out of the floodplain?
I'm thinking about 8 feet.
To the library height, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just about the base of the windows, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, we were just eyeballing it, sitting in the conference room, and if you look at the bottom of the library and kind of draw an eye line with your eye, it's equal to the bottom of the windows on the first floor of the pizza annex, which are probably about 5 feet above the ground level.
And that's something to think about. You know, the Boys and Girls Club was built up. That's how high up you have to go there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the pizza annex, even though it's up high, it's still not above the floodplain.
True.
It's the window.
Yeah, the first floor of the pizza annex is still not high enough to get out of the floodplain.
Which, if you repurpose, and I'm not advocating one way or the other, if you repurpose that building, you could use it. If you raise it, tear it down, your next building has to be up 8 feet.
Right.
So it's if there's value in it, 2,400 feet, you can use it. Otherwise, you can't put something else there unless it goes up 8 feet.
That is my question, though, because we're obviously going to put more money into it than it's worth, so we would hit the 50%. Would we not have to raise it up? And especially once you're working with the foundation, if you're,
right,
will we not have to raise it up at that
There's
point?
There's alternatives. You don't have to raise it. That stem wall, mm-hmm, that's kind of the dry moat, so to speak, around it, but that's an option. You can also, I've seen where they have parking below, where the building is actually on stilts, so to speak. So we wouldn't have to actually fill the site the way we filled the library site. Because once you start filling something 8 feet high, there's that conical, you know, you just don't have, so you the footprint quickly starts going out into the parking area. One advantage of this building is that there is a rather orphaned section of asphalt now. Between the Pizza Annex and City Hall, there's an area of, right, there's a tree there, an older tree, but what used to be a double driveway has been eliminated, and so right now we could, and I think that's what's in Mr. King's drawing, enlarge the footprint of the building and not really lose much parking. We would probably lose 4 or 5 spaces on the backside, but on the side towards City Hall, there is kind of that no man's land where you can't get to it. It's just a big slab of asphalt.
So I guess I'm not that keen on putting money into a really old building, and I also don't like that it's separate from City Hall. So, I mean, you would at some point, mm-hmm, have some department that's across the driveway? Or?
Yeah, and I've worked in cities that have that. There's something to be said for adjacencies, especially in the same building. And even though we don't have to all be in the same building, it sure is nice to be able to literally go across the hall or to be hearing someone speaking about some topic that is kind of cross-departmental. So if we could keep public works and community development and finance in the same building, I would prefer that. Whenever you start separating folks, you end up losing communication. There's the kind of that other world effect. There's us and then there's them, and it's just congenially, it's a little nicer to have everyone in a consolidated building.
So what do you need us to do? I mean, because, you know, I would love to tear it down, but that's just me.
Well, I know staff's been, you've been talking amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. What do you guys want to do with it?
I think, and hopefully the staff can chime in as well, but I think the next logical step would be to engage David King here to put together a rather complete but not utterly, you know, we don't need a 6-inch 3-ring binder when we're done because we're simple folks, to put together some sort of a programming plan where he can look at the needs of community development, the needs of public works, the needs of finance in that building to see just what could or should be done. So I think we can come back with some options.
Are you talking City Hall or are you talking the Pizza Annex?
Both. I think they play together, because if we could actually renovate City Hall and expand City Hall, and the advantages and the costs are comparable to working with the Pizza Annex, then it might indeed be logical that the Pizza Annex goes away and we put a little mini park there or something. You know, or there may be some other ancillary use that we could actually use the Pizza Annex for. But I think until we look to what our total combined needs are, we really don't know the answer to that.
I think that, Councilman Watson, you're kind of looking at, is that building going to work, the bank building, mm-hmm, you call it, or brand new, something different somewhere else?
Yeah, that's my main.
We need to cross that sort of mental spot.
Yeah, so really there's a few things. I mean, there's what we could if we wanted to do with the Pizza Annex building, mm-hmm, what we could if we wanted to do with City Hall in its location, mm-hmm, and then perhaps if we just needed a brand new building somewhere else, where could that be and what would the needs be? I know there was some discussion years and years ago before my time, but it was more centered on the public works needs. They were actually going to build a brand new public works shop off of Douglas and not put much efforts into our existing shop buildings. But since then, we've done some improvements there, and, of course, the police station is now there, and I think that's working out well. what are the needs for the shop in 20 years? That's another consideration.
It is difficult for that neighborhood having the shop there, just for noise issues and when they're doing things.
Exactly.
So that's something to think about, too.
Right.
Would you like, Mr. King, to look at our current City Hall, and will this building work with modifications over the next 20 years, or is that, because it isn't a floodplain, so all your additions will be upstairs, but it still might work. Do you want to take some time to look at City Hall?
I would suggest that the staff get together and try to figure out what the issues are, what you need in a building before we have Mr. King, you know, put a plan together. I think that's really important that we know what we want before we purchase, you know, pay for a consultant to develop.
That would be part
something.
Of
it. Yeah, I would suggest that I would very much like to use some of Mr. King's expertise. So maybe this is a two-part situation where we just exert some internal energies and hopefully a very modest budget for his services. Come back and say, this is what staff has seen. Does it make sense then to move on to perhaps a more involved programming where we would actually look at the needs and potential other sites? And because it really comes down to dollars and cents. And while we will be investing in the city itself, we take these kind of things very seriously. And I don't like spending money that we don't have to. But yet, staying in the building we're in for the next 20 years is also probably unrealistic.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. Is it even realistic to think? And it'd be nice to, do we build something that's going to last 50 years someplace out of the floodplain? Or do we just, you know, we really don't have the money. Unless it's just something smaller. I don't know. Money will be.
We have these two buildings here that could turn into City Hall eventually.
And you could sell the City Hall building and that whole section of Main Street as well.
We do have a 55-foot. What's our height here in Ferndale downtown?
Well, in the public institutional zone, we can go up.
Forever? There you go.
It's good to be here.
You wrote us a
I should have mentioned this is a not a bad site. I mean, it is, as you mentioned, out of the floodplain. It's downtown, which I think is important because there's been vogue things of saying, okay, let's build a campus somewhere else like Microsoft does and let's invest in downtown. And a lot of studies have shown that there's a lot of importance just from an economic development standpoint of having public institutions downtown because it gives people a reason to come downtown. And so I like the idea of if we can to stay somewhat near the downtown area so people don't have to find us wherever our campus might be.
Well, we're going to have to address this building eventually anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it'd make a good City Hall here.
Yeah.
Narrow, but
that's it.
What's the existing cost of the PIFA annex as far as insurance, utilities? Is it costing a lot to keep it standing?
We'd have to look. It is heated 24 hours a day, even though it's not occupied that much at all. It is listed on our insurance, but what the difference would be if it wasn't on our insurance, I don't know. We could certainly find out. But the utility costs are something we could certainly come up with rather quickly.
And storage, too, because there's so much. Is there still a bunch of stuff stored there, Susan? Paperwork or not as much?
Not very much.
Okay, good.
So, Greg, are you getting some direction from council?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is perhaps have sit down and visit with David the next couple of days, what have you, and put together kind of a smaller scope for an initial phase and then have him come back with a proposal that we can talk in committee about and perhaps get some direction on. Budget should not be an issue because we're just talking about studying something. We're not talking about the millions it'll take to build something, so I'm sure we could find a few.
And we'll probably want to include that there seems to be some interest in this site.
I think it's important to look at what the city has for assets. You know, what land do we own? What buildings do we own? You know, and to look at it in a more of a holistic fashion. Back in 2006, 2007, right before the Great Recession, we were literally out of room in City Hall. We were scratching our heads and saying, well, can we throw a wall up here and make one small office, two little tiny offices, and can we were really trying to figure out how to shoehorn more people into City Hall. The recession kind of eliminated that need, but now we're starting to backfill with staff again.
Just in time for the next recession.
So we better hurry and do this before the next recession hits. Yeah.
Any last questions of Mr. King?
Can you give us just broad costs, like how much per square foot if we wanted to do something? Because this is really hard without having numbers. I mean, I know it would be a wag on some level, but, you know, if you wanted to put something up that was out of the floodplain or if we wanted to build something new here, just to give us an idea, because if it's, you know, $2 million to do that, but $5 million to do this, but this is going to last for 50 years, then we can do some kind of cost-benefit analysis.
I would say I would like to think a all-new structure would probably come in about $250 a square foot. Okay. However, we're currently in the process of designing the new Linden Middle School, and estimates on that, including all the site improvements, by the way, is about $280 a square foot. I think we'll be able to bring that down before we go out to bid, but $250 might be a reasonable number to write in.
Yeah, and that really kind of falls in line with our recent experience with the library. It's 15,000 square foot library, and it costs about $5 million. Mm-hmm. So that's about $300 a square foot.
Are there any savings for, you know, with new windows, new heating, LED, that sort of thing, or would that just take so long that it wouldn't really?
Operating costs?
Yeah, operating costs wouldn't.
Well, really, to build to energy code now, you're pretty much required to do those things. I think typically when we change the occupancy of a building, we need to bring it up to code. So,
I've never experienced building a new structure for a city and having the operating cost less.
Okay.
Because you end up building usually bigger than what you had before. And there are a lot of rules on air exchange and, mm-hmm. and things like that that even with a well-insulated building, utilities are expensive. And if you're heating and cooling a larger space, which we probably are talking about, chances are it's going to cost more.
Okay.
Well, here's something to think about. David drew a sketch of possible City Hall court chambers, page 13, I think it was, and it's superimposed on the footprint of the current pizza building. It's about twice as much.
I don't think we
approximately.
So if that's 5,000 feet at 250 a foot, I came out with $1.25 million. Now it's going to be more than that, but that kind of a standalone building mm-hmm. isn't ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's about $1.25 million. It'll be more than that, but.
Those numbers include all the site development, too, though, so that's parking and lighting. And
so a council chamber slash courtroom isn't like a full city hall.
Furnishings.
So you can look at that idea, too. Shall we take a break?